Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. As we kick off the third hour of the program, coming up on Paul. Hopefully we'll get to the full story we didn't dig into last night. The mother of all economic crises. Of course, we did talk about Crypto 6 trial day number 10. That was today, the final day with the closing arguments. Of course, our friend Christopher Wade, who's our Friday night co-host, has been doing just an amazing job of taking very detailed notes. Not quite transcript level, but darn close. The closest thing you're going to get for free, that's for sure. Transcripts, we checked, by the way, they want $3.65 per page for the transcript, and you have to wait 30 days. Which is, you know, that's just insane. This 10-day trial is, I don't know how many hundreds of pages it's going to be, but
I've already been thinking, why haven't they replaced that lady with, like, just a text-to-speech thing?
Yeah, your speech-to-text, probably not reliable enough would be my guess, but and I'm sure they've got a union or something. The women that do the transcription, they probably are very, very embedded in the court systems, and they're going to stay there.
It would even be better if they just had a recording device and she got to, you know, on her own terms, just sit there and listen and type it up, because instead of constantly being like, slow down, witness for the literal, like, ancient times transcriber lady here.
Oh my gosh, I thought I was going to cry one of the days. They were, I forget what they were talking about, but I think they were, like, reading through your text messages or something.
Oh God.
And it was the guy from the prosecution and the FBI lady.
Yeah.
They're going back and forth, role-playing this thing. Mm. And they weren't reading very fast, but they were like, oh, you need to slow down. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
If these people read any slower, we will be here for years.
Yeah, it took a while.
Like, they're already reading slow enough.
Let's go to the phones here. Gordon is on the line in Illinois, outside of Chicago. Go ahead, Gordon, on our SIP line.
Hey, I'm kind of sad that Mark's not on the show tonight, because I wanted to take this up with him.
Well, he is listening tonight, so he can hear what you're saying.
Hello, Mark. I have an idea for capital punishment that I think even Mark could identify with, and I know he's pretty heavily opposed to it.
I suspect most of us on the show are opposed to capital punishment.
That's killing people, right?
That's correct. Yeah, the death penalty.
Let's try this on for size.
Okay.
There is a saying that a man dies twice. Once when his body stops, and again when his name is spoken for the last time.
Mm, okay.
And we've practiced capital punishment worldwide for recorded history,
mm-hmm.
and we've always done it by the first method. And I suppose we could try capital punishment by the second method. So let's say we have a mass shooting. Somebody drives their car through a crowd of people or something. We just don't say their name. The news reports don't report their name. When you talk about them, you talk about that person who drove through the crowd. You don't say their name.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about that, because I hear it on the news, when something bad happens, that person's name is everywhere. And I'm like, why is this doofus famous?
Yeah. And that's if they're a psycho, they probably
right.
love that.
Yeah.
They love the attention.
And sometimes they give them a cool nickname. You know,
you take their name out of the press, and they're just that person that did the evil thing. And what's interesting about this, I know Mark's objection is people make mistakes. And once you've executed somebody, they're dead. They're gone.
Mm.
You can't do anything about it. But if we use this method, we could execute them actually before they've even been tried. And then if they're found not guilty, you can talk about them again. You can say, today, Joe Blow was released from prison after being cleared of all charges. And you apologize. He goes on with his life. And now not only have you reversed his execution,
why would that be necessary? Why wouldn't we just have given him a...
In the first place?
Yeah, but he would have been. Why wouldn't we just punish somebody after they got proven guilty? Well, I think it's an interesting idea. I just don't think it's, like, the same thing as killing someone.
No.
So nobody's going to, like, take that as a replacement that believes in capital punishment. I don't, but...
Well, and that's what I'm thinking. I get your point, but to me it's not... It can't be compared to killing someone.
There are some interesting aspects, like, if... I think just focusing on not saying the name isn't really important, but not doing any, not associating with that person is a good first step for anybody that does a violent crime. Like, don't do business with them. Don't, I mean, not even a violent crime, just any crime you disagree with. Don't do business with that person. Don't recommend them to anything.
Okay, but are you talking about doing that after the person is found guilty?
Yeah, I'm only talking about ever punishing anyone after they've been found guilty.
Okay.
There's no reason to ever punish anyone, even if it's just by not saying their name, until they're proven guilty. I mean, unless you watch them do it, sure.
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, it is an unusual proposal, and I think it would be hard to implement, right? I mean, like, even if... Go ahead.
The news organizations always want to compete to be the one who has the scoop. So
sure.
If you had four news organizations and three of them weren't saying this person's name, the fourth one would want to say their name so they could be the one that had the scoop.
I would if I were them, for sure.
It just bothers me. Every time something like this happens, the person is suddenly famous. Everybody's talking about them. Everybody, you know, they're like on a pedestal of sorts.
Yeah, and I know this has frustrated a lot of people for a long time, the idea that these killers or whoever get their quote-unquote 15 minutes of fame undeservedly. They didn't do anything good. They did something bad, or allegedly, right? And then, of course, if they didn't do the thing, then it's still you're still always going to have these news articles associated with you. And that's no good either. Like, you're always going to be tarred with this arrest, regardless of whether or not you actually were vindicated and didn't do it.
Well, my thing is, it is just that. It's just a 15 minutes. Like, I don't... there are only a few examples of killers that I can think of, like, their names, but I'm not, like, really into that. But It's just a 15 minutes, and it's for something bad. So it's not the same as... You know, 15 minutes of fame for some, like, being talented or anything like
that. Well, if someone's a psychopath, they might like that. You know, for me, like, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, if I did something bad, I don't want everybody to talk about it. Like, that's so embarrassing. I'm also not a murderer, right? Like, So if somebody is a murderer, they might like that.
Yeah, but they're going to be, you know, in jail or whatever. You can't control if they're happy or not. Like,
well,
I just don't really see how it's like a... It's not helping, like, the person they killed that they're not... happy, or, you know, like, I don't even know if you can prove that it will make him happy, because, like you said, they're going to be, even if they did it, they're associated with that bad thing for life, and eventually that would take a toll on someone. I mean...
Gordon, any other thoughts you want to share about this?
No, I think that's it. I'm not the first one who suggested this. I wanted to bring it up at a time when there wasn't one of these horrible things in the news at the moment for like that 3 or 4 day period in between.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's an interesting idea. I think it would get a lot of support from people out there, but as far as the actual implementation of it, it would be very difficult, at least under the current system. When somebody gets arrested, that's a matter of public record.
And the other thing is, if someone killed my family member, I want their name out there. I want people to know that this person, first and last name, killed my family member. So
it's a matter of public record, and somebody, like you said, one of the press organizations, even if there's a handful of them out there that say, we won't report the names of alleged killers, but somebody will, because there's a group of people that want to know that information. Because a lot of people want to do their own research, right? Especially nowadays, you know, whenever you see the latest shooting story or whatever, whenever there's some mass shooter, you go over to 4chan and these guys are like on the case, looking up everything they can, digging into every social media account, downloading. So like these sort of internet sleuths or these internet detectives are out there working on this. And that's because this information is public and there's some value to that. Even though it can have a dark side. Gordon, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. But I always lean on the side of more information is a better thing.
But I do agree that, like, giving them a nickname, that's probably something that they really like. And
yeah.
Probably something you shouldn't
I've seen
do.
People say that a lot about serial killers. Like, why do we call them Jack the Ripper? Like, it sounds like, oh, scary right. and terrifying. We should call him Stupid Idiot.
Right. All right, the number here is 603-283-6160. You can join us. You can bring up whatever you want here on Free Talk Live. Coming up, we get the chance. We got the latest from Ron Paul, which we still haven't gotten to in 2 days.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yep, it is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open. If you want to join the show, you can here. The number is 603-283-6160.
at 603-283-6160. We've got a bunch of different features for you waiting on our website at freetalklive.com. We have a chat server. It is what they call a matrix server, which means it's open source. It is also free to use. It's open to anybody. It's actually federated, so if you're already on a matrix server elsewhere, you can still join most of the rooms on our server, although there are a few exclusive rooms that are only open up to server members. So if you want to learn how to join it, you can go to chat.freetalklive.com. They'll take you to those instructions. That is chat.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones here and to more of your calls and thoughts. David in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Bonnie, and Nikki.
Bitchin', just bitchin'. Thanks for asking. And I challenge you, Ian, to stay on the phone to the end as opposed to whistling out and bailing when the going gets tough.
Well, just make it worth make it worth listening to, and we'll stick with you. Go ahead.
It's always worth it, man. It's always worth it.
All right, what you got? Go ahead.
What are the charges that went to the jury?
In the Crypto 6 case against me? That one?
Is there another one?
Well, I mean, there are a bunch of jury cases out there right now. I didn't want to jump to a conclusion,
we're playing a game here, Ian. The obvious is your trial. What are the charges that went to the jury?
So you got unlicensed money transmission business, conspiracy to run an unlicensed money transmission business, so-called money laundering, and conspiracy to money launder, and then four counts of so-called tax evasion.
Okay, so you got three things there. You got money laundering, you got the unlicensed business, money transacting business, and what was the final one again?
Tax evasion, and then a couple conspiracy counts.
Okay, and so what are the elements, and these are printed in the court rules in most courts when they're in the state. I don't know where they're printed, either state or the court rules.
Yeah, there's jury instructions that have all that information.
Right. What are the elements of those three things?
It is 45 pages. In a nutshell?
That's why I said in a nutshell, because I looked at the federal, I looked at one of them, the federal money laundering, and yes, it's quite lengthy as opposed to most simple crimes like, say, battery. It's very short. So in a nutshell, in summary fashion, what are the elements of those three crimes?
I don't want to, like, get it wrong.
I got it right here. I'm not going to get into all the definitions or whatever, but in unlicensed money transmission business, it's that the defendant knowingly controlled, conducted, managed, supervised, directed, or owned a business, that the business, so part point two, the business engaged in so-called money transmitting, which is a legal term with a very specific definition. The third, the business affected interstate or foreign commerce. And fourth, the business was unlicensed. So that's one of them. And then, of course, there's the conspiracy to do that thing, which means that you've entered into an agreement, apparently, with another person or persons to do that thing. So it's a very similar charge, but they have to prove that someone else was involved or would have been involved. You don't even have to actually do the thing that you're being charged with a conspiracy on. As long as they can say that you thought about it, then that's enough for a criminal charge there. You get the money laundering charge, which in this case is in regards to the funds of a purported drug deal, basically. So they had an undercover agent claim to be a heroin dealer and then try to get me to sell him Bitcoin, which I refused to do. But they have to prove in this case that Mr. Freeman conducted or attempted to conduct a financial transaction. Second, that the financial transaction involved property that law enforcement represented to be proceeds of a specified unlawful activity, in this case, the trafficking of controlled substance. Third, Mr. Freeman believed the financial transaction involved the proceeds of the specified unlawful activity. And then fourth, that Freeman conducted or attempted to conduct the financial transaction knowing that it was intended to conceal or disguise the nature, location, source, ownership, or control of the proceeds of a specified unlawful activity.
And that one, me and Chris Wade were just like, how could you possibly say that somebody did a transaction, conducted a transaction, because somebody else went to their ATM. Anytime I go to an ATM at TD Bank, is the owner of that bank conducting a transaction with me?
Knowingly?
Or at all? Like, I don't understand how I could possibly say...
Well, in this case, I told him that he couldn't.
Right. Well, so, I know that.
Anyway.
So it's even weaker than just that.
Well, but you know what really got me about that is the fact that they are even allowed to have undercover agents in the first place, but to go and try to incriminate you when you weren't, they're like, oh, well, this guy's not doing anything wrong, but I bet if we set him up and we put a wire on this guy, like, we can get something on him.
What's that, David?
The third set of elements.
Okay, so we're on number four, count four here, the money laundering conspiracy. So this money laundering count is different from the first one because the first one had to do with the undercover officer purporting to have drug money. This one, they're alleging that that I had, according to them, they say, entered into some sort of an agreement to launder money with another person. Second, Freeman knowingly, willfully, and intentionally agreed with one or more persons to enter into the agreement to launder money. Third, Freeman entered the agreement with the intent to further its unlawful purpose. And specifically, they're referring to wire fraud funds. So they are alleging that I had entered into some sort of an agreement to launder the funds from wire fraud, which, of course, they've presented absolutely no evidence for whatsoever. And then finally, the final five through eight counts are the tax evasion counts, where they have to prove that Mr. Freeman owed substantially more federal income tax for the year in question that he paid or was assessed. Second, Freeman attempted to evade or defeat the assessment or payment of this tax. Third, in attempting to evade or defeat the assessment or payment of the tax, Mr. Freeman acted willfully. And fourth, Freeman committed an affirmative act in furtherance of the intent. And one of the interesting takeaways from the tax evasion count is the definition of willful, which used here means the law imposed a duty on the defendant. The defendant knew of that duty, and the defendant voluntarily and intentionally violated that duty.
Well, but they also don't have a number for, like, what do you owe? They couldn't
they
even
no
say
idea.
How much you owed or...
They've never even bothered to send a letter to me in regards to, quote-unquote, owing taxes.
So it's just interesting that they can even try to charge you with this.
Yeah, interestingly, it says here, if Freeman acted in good faith, he did not act willfully. So they have to prove Freeman's state of mind, and you can consider the reasonableness of the belief in deciding whether Freeman actually held the belief. So it's a subjective standard. What did Freeman actually believe? Not what a reasonable person believed. Innocent mistakes caused by the complexity of the Internal Revenue Code or negligence, even gross negligence, are not enough to meet the willfulness requirement. So,
and that's on all four counts, right?
This is on the four counts of tax evasion, yeah. So this is a tough one, it would seem like, to prove, because I don't think I have a duty to pay income taxes for more than one reason. Number one, I'm a minister with a church. I don't get an income. I'm sustained by the church. And secondly, and we didn't get into the second reason during the trial, but secondly, I don't think there's any duty to pay taxes at all because they don't have an obligation to protect. And if there's no obligation to protect, then there's no duty to pay because...
What evidence do they present?
They have no evidence.
The evidence they presented was an IRS lady saying, I wrote up this paperwork and I say he owes this much. And then Sissy asked, is it possible he owes nothing? And she said, yes.
I'll let you respond here, David. Stand by. I know you probably have more to say about it. We'll continue in moments. The number 603-283-6160. You can join us here. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA USA News Update. President Biden praising the president of Ukraine as he visits the White House.
This visit to Washington, your first trip outside Ukraine since February, comes as President Putin is escalating his attacks.
The visit comes as Russia continues its brutal assault on Ukraine, Biden noting it has been 300 days since Russia invaded the country. President Zelensky addressing Congress tonight. NASA's Mars InSight mission is dead. After 4 years, the spacecraft landed on Mars to measure the planet's seismological shaking, but dropped contact on December 15th. NASA announced today that it does not expect to hear from InSight again. Police in Moscow, Idaho say a white Hyundai Elantra found in Eugene, Oregon after an injury crash is not related to the investigation of four University of Idaho students who were killed. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. Been a busy night.
Yeah, lots of calls.
Lots of participation. Definitely appreciate that. Here in the studio, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Nikki.
Don't forget, you can join us online. I did mention Porkfest a little bit earlier, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that now. It's coming up, and it'll be here before you know it. Summertime. You know, it's now winter, right? So we're two seasons
officially
away.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're two seasons away from Forkfest, which starts at the very end of spring. So this year, Forkfest is actually going to be before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's going to be June 15th through the 18th. And, of course, the Porcupine Freedom Festival sold out last year. So if you want to attend both of these events, you ought to get your tickets for the Porcupine Freedom Festival sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
Good chance that one's going to sell out. It's been 2 years in a row it's sold out, so I bet you they're going to do a third sellout this time around. Forkfest, probably not going to sell out, usually smaller event, but because it's moving before the Porcupine Freedom Festival, it's going to be busier on the campground. The years that we held it after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, it was pretty low attendance. So we're moving it back earlier. It seemed to be what everybody wanted to do. So Forkfest.party. Of course, it's decentralized, so you can show up for as many days as you want to and call it Forkfest. But, you know, the one we're promoting here, at least, is going to be June 15th through the 18th. It's the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's a great excuse to come up and visit New Hampshire, meet a bunch of other liberty-minded people, and just have fun on Rogers Campground, the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. It's an amazing location. RV site, motel rooms, camping sites. These things are all available for you, but you should go ahead and register one as soon as you can. ForkFest.party. I know Rogers Campground has limited service during the wintertime, so if you call
them up, it's hard to get a hold of
them. Probably not going to be able to reach them in the office most days, but I think you can leave a message and somebody will call you back eventually. Check out ForkFest.party in the meantime to learn more about the event. We bring David back on the line in New Mexico. David, you asked me to go through some of all of the counts in the Crypto 6 case against me that currently the jury is deliberating on these counts.
Well, the last thing he asked technically was he asked what evidence that did they have against you for the IRS, and it might be interesting to get it more into that because I kind of yelled it at him right at the end, but there's more to it.
Yeah, what was it, Bonnie?
Well, so they brought an IRS lady in.
An accountant
from the IRS, and she had this like 2-page paperwork, and she was like, so I figured out how much income Ian Freeman made from selling Bitcoin from these I don't remember where she got the information.
Local Bitcoin. 4,000 roughly,
okay.
Local Bitcoins trades.
That's what it was. And she said she figured out how much you made in income, in her words, from the transaction fee. And she added up, did standard deductions, and found that you owed like a certain amount 2019 or 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. And she was like, yep, there's my evidence. And then Sissy goes and cross-examines her and is like, has the IRS, to your knowledge, ever sent a letter to Ian claiming that he needs to get audited or come in and talk to them because he may owe or anything like that? And she said no.
She didn't know.
Oh, she didn't know personally.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not my department.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Not my department. I don't know personally. Sorry. But yeah, Ian never received anything like that.
That's right.
He asked if he was able to say the only time that Ian ever got any contact from the IRS was a letter in Spanish asking him to change his address. And so he didn't, like, he ignored it. Anyways, so, and then Sissy asks the lady, is it typical for the first contact the IRS has with someone that they believe owes to be in a federal court on trial? Or
I've never heard of that before. Normally they send a letter first.
Yeah, right. Normally do they send a letter or call someone and tell them they're being audited, or if it's not, if that's not the right term, whatever, like you may owe, you may have failed to file, anything like that. And she's just like, I don't know. And
I think she said in general, yes, but she's not in the general department. She's in the special investigations or whatever department it was that she was in.
Well, and then she asked, Sissy asked, so looking at these things, did you sit down with Ian and have a conversation with him about his deductions, or is this just standard deductions? And she's like, yeah, I just did a standard deductions. And he was like, so it's possible that this isn't technically correct. It's just like an estimate, right? And she's like, yeah, it's possible it's not correct. And he said, it's actually possible that Ian may owe nothing, correct? And she said, correct. And he might dropped and walked back.
That's awesome. Well, and that's the thing, too, because it's a very specific number that you're going to owe, right? So they can't just do, oh, here's some standard deductions.
That's
especially
if you owe.
Well, exactly.
I mean, I'm of the belief I don't owe anything because I don't have any income as a minister.
Exactly. So they would need to work that out with you specifically, and especially if this is going to be evidence in a court case on tax fraud.
No, they just brought the charges.
They can't just bring this accountant lady from the IRS and have her do some math and do standard deductions. That's not really how that works.
David, thoughts?
So, yeah. So there's a whole bunch of questions that don't seem to be ever asked or ever answered, or no evidence presented regarding the whole tax thing. So it's premature for them to come with some charges. So they should lose their case on that, based on that. And if they do happen to win on that count, then there are all kinds of grounds for appeal, as I see it, without enumerating them. Going back to, going in reverse order back to the second one, if I heard you correctly, the only evidence they presented was the person who, the FBI dude who tried to entrap you. Is that correct? They provided no additional evidence
He was an undercover IRS agent who attempted to get me to sell him Bitcoin after he said he was a heroin dealer. I had already sold him Bitcoin on a number of occasions prior to him saying that, but after he said he was a heroin dealer, I told him I can no longer sell you Bitcoin. And so he pushed the matter and came back to another one of our meetups and tried to ask if he could use the vending machine that my church operates, and I told him he couldn't do that. And he went ahead and did it anyway, and then they charged me with so-called money laundering for that. So it's pretty weak. Right. It's a pretty weak count.
And that's the only, scenario. There wasn't other cases of that alleged with other individuals. Is
no,
correct?
Just that one guy, that one instance.
Okay, so that sounds pretty weak as well.
Yeah,
going
it's weak.
The first one. Pardon?
Yeah, it is definitely weak. It's my attorney described it on closing as a joke. Ironic,
right.
Yeah.
Fishing expedition. So throwing spaghetti at the wall to see how much of it sticks.
That's it. That's what this is all about.
And finally, going back to the first set of elements, what evidence did they present in a nutshell for against those elements regarding the money transacting business or whatever it's called?
They just simply continued to assert that what I was doing was a business when we pointed out that it's a church, and they are asserting that it's not a church, that it's a sham or whatever, the whatever wording that they've been using, quote-unquote purported church, even though we've had this church for almost a decade at this point, and the
longer
church
than there was anything that was talked about in this case.
Yeah, and we had all kinds of evidence to support the fact that it is a church, but they just continue to assert that it's their belief that it's not, without ever calling, as my attorney pointed out in closing, any kind of expert to talk about, you know, what is and what is not a church, because they can't say what isn't a church in any sort of legal sense. You know, it's up to the individuals who create the church. But
well,
further,
they probably could have, but it would have been in your favor, so they didn't.
We would have been able to cross-examine them. And,
no, it
and
would have been in your
up.
Favor because they would have been like, yeah, legally he's a church.
Well, no, they if they were calling someone, then they wouldn't call someone who would
that's
make
that
That's
what I'm
saying.
They couldn't
statement.
Find someone to call that would make a statement that you're not a church. That's what I'm saying.
Well, maybe. If they could find somebody that could make that statement, we would be able to cross-examine them and give examples of much less churchy organizations that are absolutely given church status by the IRS.
I mean, even
like
as far
the Satanic
as,
Temple, for
yeah,
instance.
Even as far as Christianity goes, in the Bible it says wherever two or more gather
that's
with
right.
Jesus.
In my name, yeah.
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 So.
And then secondly, the big other big one that they can't prove on this one beyond just raw assertion is that we were engaged in so-called money transmission, which requires for value or money or whatever to move from one person to another or from one location to another, and that never happens with Bitcoin. Bitcoin doesn't even move on the blockchain. It doesn't move on the ledger that it's on. It literally stays in one place and is created and destroyed. So I explained that to the jury. Whether, you know, again, they're going to believe the prosecutor or not is the question. Thank you for the call, David. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are still open here in the remaining moments of this episode. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can bring up anything with you tonight. It's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Nikki.
We just had David in New Mexico who was asking about the details of the various different counts, the 8 counts that I'm facing in the Crypto 6 trial. And I read not the whole shebang, the whole jury instructions or whatever. But
yeah, we don't have time for that.
I did take the counts, and I read those out. But really, it gets more interesting when you actually read the definitions of things, like with money transmission, where they say that that includes transferring funds by any and all means. Funds includes Bitcoin, which is obviously the judge's incorrect opinion.
Yeah.
Transferring, they say, means to convey to another location or person. And that's the part that these bureaucrats don't understand, and they don't want to understand, because they want the money transmitting statutes to apply to Bitcoin. They want it so badly to apply to Bitcoin. And in most trials that I'm aware of, would never get, well, first of all, most of these charges that are being brought against Bitcoin sellers never go to trial. It's very rare that it happens, although it has happened. In some of those cases, they drop the money transmitter charge. They don't actually go to trial with it. So I don't know how many cases there are where a Bitcoin seller has actually fought a money transmitter charge. But if they have fought it, they probably haven't fought it from a technical standpoint, because, you know, a lot of people don't know how Bitcoin works. And, you know, without going off into the weeds, Bitcoin, as I understand it from the research that I've done, and I'm not the programmer, right? Like, so I'm not an engineer, but I have looked into it. Bitcoin doesn't move. It's on a ledger. And it doesn't even move on the ledger, because they could then, or if you said, well, Bitcoin's a ledger, it's not moving from like Florida to New Hampshire. Yep. It's just sitting on a ledger somewhere. The ledger is copied. There are copies of the ledger that are, you know, available all across the world. But that's not the same thing as it moving.
It doesn't get copied because into another place in the world because of a transaction. It's just doing that.
It's always being copied every, right. You know, 10 minutes or whatever it is when the blocks come out. All the different versions of, or all the different full nodes are constantly checking one another. And so when Bitcoin, a transaction happens on Bitcoin, it does not mean that Bitcoin is being transmitted anywhere. That doesn't happen. And I explained this to the jury yesterday when I took the stand in my own defense. I explained to them that when a transaction happens on Bitcoin, basically what you have happening is on the blockchain, those coins are associated with a certain account, not even account, a certain wallet identification, not a human identification, mm-hmm. not a person, but with a wallet ID. And the what they call unspent transaction outputs are destroyed and recreated associated with a different wallet ID in the same place. So they're not even moving on the same ledger. So they could try to claim, oh, well, it's moving from one location on the ledger to another location on the ledger. Like if you had a piece of paper and the entry moves from the top to the bottom of the paper. Like, that's not what they intended when they wrote the statute. But it doesn't even do that.
Well, and it's clear right? that they don't care what it does.
No, they
because
don't.
You tried to explain it, and then Sisti brought it up again.
Yep.
And the prosecution was just like, well, I don't care. We did it right here in this court. I sent it to her. Her account went up. Mine went down. And that's that.
That's
movement. It's the same. That's movement.
They made an explanation about buying a car, not about... And that's what Nikki was referring to. It wasn't about Bitcoin at all. It didn't explain the mechanics of Bitcoin at all.
No, and they don't care what the mechanics of Bitcoin are. All they understand is like debit, credit, like they only understand bank accounts and things like that.
And they want you to think it's the same thing.
Exactly. Right. And they don't care about crypto. They don't care about blockchain technology. They don't care.
They hate it.
They don't know.
They care.
They don't want to know.
Oh, they care a lot. That's why
it seems like they're willfully ignorant, though. They don't.
Oh yeah, no, they don't.
Even if you try to explain it to them, they don't care. I guess they care because they hate it.
Yeah.
But they don't actually want to understand the technology.
They want to shoehorn it into their old system.
You know?
They want to say, "Oh, well, it's got a send and receive button on the wallet, so that must mean it's transmitted." And it's like, no. It has send and receive buttons on the wallet, so humans can have some sort of conceptualization of how to use this thing. Because people don't need to know. Like, when you flip the switch, when you walk into a room...
Yeah, you don't need to know about the circuits. And
right. You don't need to know how electricity moves across power lines.
That app on your desktop that says recycling, and you drag a file into it so that way it's gone, it's not really recycling. That's just a way for humans to understand it intuitively.
Yeah. Wait, it's not a real trash in there?
Right.
Right.
That's a perfect example, Bonnie.
It's a GUI thing, a GUI thing.
What? Oh, gooey.
Gooey.
Gooey sounds a little more offensive.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I meant gooey, whatever.
On Hanukkah?
Wow, okay, whatever.
She is Jewish, so she can get away with it, I think.
Yeah, I'm just as Jewish as the next Free Stater, so.
But yeah, they don't get it. They don't want to get it. They want to shoehorn everybody into this old system that has not been, the laws have not been updated. There was some talk during this trial about how in 2021 the federal government changed the money transmitter statutes.
Well, does that matter, though,
but they
in
still
your case?
No, but the thing is, they still didn't change it to actually talk about something that could possibly regulate Bitcoin. They just, and I don't have the wording in front of me right here, and they didn't even use it in the in this particular count, but it was something like they added sort of... There's a series of things that they say fall under this money transmitter status or statute or whatever. So there's like currency, there's value, there's currency, there's funds, and then there's quote unquote value that substitutes for currency. Now, it does not describe, there is no definition for
what that
actually means. But either way, even if they were to say, well, that's Bitcoin, again, it still is never transmitted.
And actually,
so,
Ed from Little Zoe's made a great point about that. Bitcoin is a commodity. It's a thing that people want,
mm-hmm.
and they will give you other things if you'll give them Bitcoin. That doesn't make it an that doesn't make it a replacement for funds or currency.
It's not.
Like he said, Ed from Little Zoe said, I've taken Bitcoin for pizza, I've taken gold and silver for pizza, and I've even taken a canoe for pizza.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, it's just another trade and barter system.
Right. And to me, when I hear value, quote unquote, value that substitutes for currency, that sounds to me like something that trades one for one. Right, so
okay, yeah.
Maybe you could say that like a stable coin would count as something like that, something that ostensibly trades one-to-one for the dollar. But even then, you're still not dealing with something that is moving anywhere.
Yeah.
It's just a blockchain, right? So I still don't even think that would qualify. But Bitcoin is not that.
Yeah.
Right? Bitcoin is its own thing. It has its own price that has absolutely nothing to do with the dollar. You can denominate it in the dollar in the same way that you can denominate it in ounces of gold, and you can denominate it in canoes, and you can denominate it in whatever you want to denominate it in. So, again, how much of this the jury will grasp or believe or understand? I personally hope these people can see how transparently mm-hmm. fake and how transparently just dishonest the
right.
prosecution has been, and their star FBI witnesses that they kept referencing today. Well, FBI agent so-and-so said this, and FBI agent so-and-so said that. Well, if the jury remembers, all those agents looked like the slimiest scum
yeah.
on the stand.
Oh, you mean the guy that his entire job is lying?
Oh, the undercover, yeah. Well,
and
not
I was,
just him, the other ones, too.
Of course, yeah. But him in particular, I was listening to his testimony or while they were cross-examining him, whatever it's called, and I'm just thinking to myself, how is this guy even a reliable source of information
yeah.
where his entire personality, his entire being is lies?
Yeah.
Well, all he knows is lies. He lies for work. Nothing about him is real, honestly, so how can we trust
right.
what
we can't.
He's saying? You
so,
can't.
He had to show an ID, and one of our friends looked up the address on the ID, and it was an empty parking lot.
Mm. Yeah, not surprised.
Well,
that's supposed to be his real ID.
Is he even a real person? Is that his real name?
Well,
you know?
They gave a name for him at the... it was different than the one on his ID.
Yeah.
So presumably we know his real legal name.
Doubt it.
At this point, but yeah, who knows? So,
he wouldn't even say what country he was from. He's like, around there.
Sketchy.
Sarah in New Mexico. Go quick.
During the winter vacation, all the kids under 12 here in New Mexico, they're going to get free lunch. Like, these kids on the winter vacation.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, Sarah. Haven't you ever heard that?
Well, all the kids get... I mean, they're not even, they're like teenagers at the high school.
Yeah, but somebody's paying for that lunch. I know it's not you.
Free to them.
Because you don't work. But it's people who do work who are paying for that lunch. Because there's no such thing as a free lunch. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Out of time tonight. Back tomorrow. Unless they throw me in a jail cell after a guilty verdict, which, from what I understand, they're not supposed to do that. But somebody will be back tomorrow on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.